Hallelujah. Why don't you turn over to Romans 8:14? We started talking about being led by the Spirit of God last week. How to be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8, if you didn't hear it, I encourage you to go and get the recording off the website. That's what it's there for. We can't cover everything we covered, but we will review a little bit and go forward. Romans 8, verse 14. Praise God. Romans 8, 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirits that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God or daughters of God. So if we're sons or daughters of God, we are led by the Spirit of God. You see that? It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That means we can all be led by the Spirit of God. God leads all of His children. God is no respecter of persons. But what we put into practice of His Word will determine how much of Him we receive in this life. God is never withholding on anyone. Never. And He will lead all His children. Don't ever say, "Well, I just don't understand. I just can't seem to hear God." Well, we can make adjustments, but God is always speaking to us. We may have to make some adjustments on the receiving end so that we're able to receive and to hear and to be led more clearly. But don't say, "I can't hear." Don't say, "I can't follow Him. I always seem to make the wrong decisions." Don't say that. Don't lock yourself into that. Don't say that, "I can't, I don't." No, start to say, "I hear Him." I don't care if you made what seems to be the wrong decision the last 9 times. That's when you really need to say, "I hear the Spirit of God. I hear Him, and I make wise decisions. Boy, I follow Him closely. I am following the plan of God for my life." Yeah. Don't start saying, "I can't hear. No, I can't do it." No, don't look at that. Look at what the Word says. If you're a child of God, a son or daughter of God, then you hear Him. That's why we're talking about it, so we can come up. Because we can all come up. I want to hear Him better this week than I've ever heard Him. How about you? I expect to hear Him better. If I don't know Him better in a year than I do now, something's wrong. You know, if you've been married, you probably know your spouse better today than you did, you know, 5 years ago if you've been married that long. 10 years ago. Certainly when you just got married. You think you know somebody, you dated them for a while, then you move in with them. Oh boy. Then you find out some stuff. Maybe you didn't want to know, but you found it out anyway. Well, there's nothing like that with God, but over time, we're going to, you know, God's a person. Yes, He's a person. And you can get to know Him. You can get to know the Spirit of God better and better and better. So I expect to be able to hear His voice and discern His ways better coming up than I did in the past. So we can all come up. I believe God's bringing us up. That's why He's having us look at His Word in this area. Verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father," or Daddy, Father. So we have a relationship with him. He's just not off somewhere like, oh God, lead me. No, we want to get to where it's Lord, Father, show me, and get to know him. And how he speaks to us. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. This is how he leads us. He bears witness with our spirit most of the time. Yes, there are visions. Yes, there are dreams. Yes, angels have appeared to people, but it doesn't happen a lot. And the number of times that it happens in the Word of God was over many years. So don't seek visions. Don't seek dreams. Don't seek audible voices. The devil can accommodate you. Because he's the God of this world. And many people have thought they wanted to hear a voice. They wanted to hear a voice. They're asking God to hear a voice. And then they heard a voice. And it wasn't God. Don't seek anything outside the Word. If God gives you a vision and it's from him and it lines up with the Word, rejoice and thank him for it and go on. But make sure it lines up with the Word. Don't just receive something because it's supernatural. The devil is supernatural, but he is not God. And he's not righteous. And he deceives people. Because it's spectacular. Somebody thinks they saw a light and some, you know, being told them something that only something supernatural could know because nobody knew it. And they think it must be God. Not so. The devil knows things too. The devil knows things that humans don't know. He spirits are around. They can tell what's in your top drawer or something. People said, oh, they told me what was in my top drawer of my chest, and nobody knows that. It has to be God. Not so. Could be a familiar spirit. Right. Don't look to that to be led by him. Amen. No, you have the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you if you're born again, and he will lead us by our spirit. Not by our head. Not by our body. Well, I feel, I'm excited about something, or I feel like this is the way. Be careful how you use that. Because your emotions can get involved. You can want something. Singles, don't be led by your emotions when you're choosing a spouse. People, I just really like them. It doesn't matter if you really like them. Make sure it's God before you go forth. I'm not saying don't ever date until you know absolutely. Some people just, again, they go from here way over to here. You know, how are you ever going to know that you're compatible at all if you don't talk to them? I'm just going to sit in my apartment and God's going to show me the one. And then I'm going to go to them and I'm going to say, God showed me. You're my wife. Marry me. And they're going to run from you. That's not even that far off, because people do weird stuff when they're in like Bible school. All the stories that Brother Hagin would tell about people. I claim that person, and you don't know him from Adam. You might not like them once you get to know them. They might not like you. Some girls buying their wedding dress by faith. Just. Like Brother Hagin would say, bless their hearts and stupid heads. Bless their darling hearts and stupid heads. But, how'd I get into that? When you're being led, when you're single, don't be led by your emotions. Don't be led by sight, for goodness sake. See this pretty girl over there. Well, I'd like to marry her. If you got to know her, you may not want to marry her. You know? She's pretty. Whoa, you get to know her. She's ugly. On the inside, you know, you don't want that. No, be led by God, by your spirit. But we're a three-part being. We're a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. And when you're being led by God, you got to know, you got to learn to discern the voice of your spirit. Because your head will talk to you. Your thoughts will talk to you. Your emotions will talk to you. Your body will talk to you. And it'll tell you things. And you can't listen to your head or to your body in place of your spirit. You can't say, well, I just have this all figured out. And I know how God's going to move, but it's all up here. You got to watch that. Well, I have it figured. I read a book, and I think God's going to lead me, or that's exactly what He's going to do in my life, and it's all mental. God did not speak to the Spirit. It's all mental. Got it figured out. Don't worry about what you have figured out. You look at what God is leading you to do and not do by your heart. Let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to take some time today, I believe this is where we're going, to talk about spirit, soul, and body. Because we need to know this strong. The difference between the spirit, the soul, and the body. Because what do we read in Romans? That the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. He doesn't bear witness with your head. He doesn't bear witness with your flesh. So if we know and are aware, I don't say you just know like you've heard it. I mean, you're aware that you're a spirit. You're aware that in some situation it could be your head and not the Spirit of God. Not every thought that comes across your mind is the Spirit of God.
That's right.
And just because your flesh decides it wants to do something, that doesn't mean it's the Spirit of God. So the more aware of it will be that we are, the more we're going to learn to discern our spirit, the more we're going to follow Him, which is what we want. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we do have three parts: a spirit, a soul, and a body. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5:17. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Verse 21, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Go back to verse 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." If he is in Christ, he is a new creation. What part of you, when you became born again, is a new creation? It's your spirit. We can back into that pretty easy. When you became born again, did you suddenly, you know, your body become new? If you were bald, you're still bald. If you had white skin, you still had white skin. You have blue eyes, they're still blue. Thank God you didn't become all renewed and go back to being a baby when you got born again. It didn't happen. Now your mind, you got born again. Thank God that didn't get renewed. All of a sudden, you got prayed for, you received Jesus, and all of a sudden, who am I? You couldn't even say that because you don't know how to speak English. Your brain has been wiped out, renewed. completely back to like your spirit, created from nothing. You don't want that. So that did not happen. The part of us that was born again, created, was our spirit. That's the part that's alive to God. Our body, you know, if you had certain habits in your body, they're there unless God supernaturally did something in tandem of you getting born again, which has happened, but is not the norm. And then your mind. I mean, if you had understanding, it's still there. If you had certain ways of thinking, they're there right after you get born again. You're the same person. But inside, the spirit, brand new, completely new. Not a makeover, not anything. Just completely recreated. You're a new person. Where you were dead on the inside, you're alive to God. Completely new. We need to know this. Our mind did not change. We'll get to what we need to do with our mind here in a minute. But before we go there, let's go over to Luke 16. Luke 16. Luke 16, 19. See, being spiritual, number one, a spiritual person will walk in love. Because a spiritual person will be living out of their spirit. Their spirit has been shed abroad with the love of God. Love of God's been shed abroad in their heart. God is love. So a spiritual person will walk in love. But spiritual, the more spiritual you are, the more you are aware of spiritual things. And the things of this earth, you hold lightly. Because it's temporary. We're not going to be here very long. We're passing through. I just read this morning. We're sojourners. We're aliens here. We're not citizens. I mean, we may be citizens in this country, but our real citizenship is in heaven. We're like on a mission here. We really are. More so than any movie you've ever seen. We are that. This is the ultimate. We are here to do something. And then we're going to be gone. And we got to get the job done. So the thing is, what we see and feel, so much of what becomes real to us is natural. And that's where the whole world lives. Majority. People live in their natural lives. A lot of people, they don't have a clue spiritual. They don't think anything about spiritual. It's, where's my next meal going to come from? What's on TV? And they're watching people that are all concerned with soulish and physical things. There's not a spiritual dimension. And if there is a spiritual dimension displayed, a lot of times it's ungodly. But we want to be aware of spiritual things. Here in Luke 16, verse 19, you see this clearly. The three parts. So it says, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously. Doesn't that sound good? Fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades. Now, what? The guy's dead, right? They're both dead? So it was, verse 22. So it was the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Okay? They're both dead, we would say, right? Okay? Verse 23, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. He has eyes, but he's dead. His body's in the grave, but he has eyes. You have a spiritual body. You will have a spiritual body. There is something when this earth, this body goes away. Their bodies are dead. They're in the grave. But he said he lifted up his eyes and saw. See, it's not all physical. See, we know how our physical eyes work here. You know? The way know a little bit about that, not much. I work in lighting, so you know a little bit about how the eye detects light and whatever. You know, you take a few classes about that. That's your physical eye, but that's just a machine that we're using for our real person to see through. It's not all there is. It's a model. It's a machine. It's a real fancy machine. That's all this is. And it's how you have to get around here on this earth. You don't have one. You can't contact the natural realm. But notice, he says, he being lifted or being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger. You see this? Same parts we have. But you're inside. This is the body is on the outside. It says, dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. He's feeling something. So you have the natural feelings, but here he's feeling. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember. Notice that. See, you store stuff in your physical brain, but that's not your mind. Did you hear me? People think when their brain goes bad, well, they're losing their mind. No, it's not the same thing. Your mind can fail you just like your arm can fail you. But you're inside this. Your memories and things aren't going away because your brain is having problems. We have a mind that's going to remember what happened on this earth. It's just, this is a mechanical storage mechanism. It's like I said, it's just a complicated machine. So you could have problems in your mind just like you could have problems in your body. And thank God you can be healed of all of them. But notice, he remembers. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus received evil things. Let me go back. Notice that when the man was looking across and seeing, he recognized the guy, the poor man. So he looked similar. And they had the same personality and whatever. This guy is talking just like he did on the earth. He's just not on the earth anymore. So that's your soul. So you got spirit, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, and then your body. Well, their bodies are gone. But you wouldn't know it if you cut off the top, if you started reading in verse 23, you would not know that their bodies are in the grave from the context. You would think they're just this, where are they? I don't know, but they're having this conversation. They can see, they can remember, they can feel, right? But their body's in the grave. Verse 25, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to there cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Jesus has risen from the dead, and many people disbelieve it. That's right. Even though there's more proof that he lived than for any people or any other person, you know, from that time period or further. There are many written documents, there are many eyewitnesses that he lived and he rose from the dead, but people still have to believe it and take it by faith. It's a will. People can disbelieve, just like this man did. They can hear it, and the supernatural does not determine if you believe God or not. People say, well, if they saw some miracle. No, you can choose to disbelieve with a miracle right in front of your face. Didn't the Pharisees do it all the time? Jesus would heal somebody and they'd be like, we're killing him. They didn't believe. They didn't turn to him. And they saw outstanding miracles. No, it's of the heart. It's a will. Don't ever think, well, I'm going to prove that there's a God and then they'll believe. Not so. Not so. They have to come to Jesus just like everybody. They have to take God at his word regardless of what they see, just like this man is saying. He's saying, go. If somebody comes from the dead and tells my brothers, they'll believe. No, they wouldn't. Not because of that. They have a choice. They could believe right now because they have the law and the prophets. Well, we have the word of God, the complete word of God, and people can believe now. Don't ever get in the mode of thinking you have to prove God's word is true. That's not what he said. He said, go and preach the gospel. He didn't say, go and prove there's a God.
That's right.
Didn't say that. He said, go and preach the gospel. That's our job. Tell them. They believe. That's up to them. They have a will. God himself will not make people believe, and you can't. And he won't. If God doesn't step in, we don't have any business trying to twist people's arms and say, well, come on, believe. And we can't do it by what we show them either. We can point them to Jesus. But we see here that even though both of these men's bodies are in the grave, they have physical characteristics, they have mental characteristics, or you know, of their mind, their emotions. The guy's feeling something, he's upset. You see the same type of thing here, similar to what you see on the earth, it's just there's no body. So let's go over to, we're just going to keep going through this, James 2:26. I'd say this, I mean, you know, there's lots of things that we need to learn, but this is one thing that we need to get straight. This will clear up so much. And the more we understand it, the more things get clear. You realize what's going on in life when you see the difference between spirit, soul, and body. And we will be led more effectively because the more we discern, that's my flesh. Boy, I really feel like doing something, but flesh, shut up and get out of the way. That's my flesh. And then you realize your mind's pulling on you, and I'm telling you, there's some mind things, some emotion things. The Bible itself says the word of God will divide between soul and spirit. There are things that are hard to discern when you get into certain emotions, certain things in the mind, but that you need to come back to the word and make sure you're in the word to divide those things. But the more we know and are aware of this, the more we can be led and discern when we're not being led. You're not led by circumstance. You're not led by reason. You're not led by body. You're not led by feelings. The more you see this, the more you say, what's my heart? And the more effective will be. James 2:26.
Yeah.
And we're all growing in this. The enemy hasn't changed. He uses the same types of things and tries to put pressure on us. And he knows how to put things in front of you that looks good. And he's not stupid. He knows how people talk. He knows what people think. And he can look, and some people go, oh, see, that's everything's lining up. That's God. No, the devil can line some stuff up. He can line stuff up, and he knows how to talk that language and say, ooh, that must be God. And so many will go off all of a sudden and say, oh, it's God, and jump to a conclusion, not wait on the Lord to see, okay, is this settling in my heart? Is this settling in my spirit? Or is it just something that, because circumstances can change. It looks good, and you wait, and all of a sudden it disintegrates. 2:26, it says, James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Notice that. For the body without the spirit. Once the spirit leaves the body's dead. You can try to keep the body alive, and people do this sometimes, you know, they're on life support, but they're gone. The real person, they're out of there. They've already moved on. But their body's still alive. You can keep the machine running, but they're gone. And as soon as you take the machine away, body dies. Why? Because it's an earth suit. That's all it is. Let's look at one more scripture. We'll get into that. 1 Peter 3. Look at this. Just next book over. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. It says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." He's telling the women here, he said, don't let the outward man be the only thing. You know, just, you know, you're doing your hair nice, you're putting on makeup, putting on jewelry, nothing against anything. He's not saying don't do that. He's saying don't emphasize that at the expense of the real you. And he's saying, he's talking to wives here, and he's saying, look, you want to win your husbands? Let the Word of God shine through you, the Spirit of God shine through you. He said that in verse 1, like, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the Word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. He's not saying just do everything in the natural. He's saying you submit to that man if you're married, even if he's not doing everything right. And let the love of God that's in you shine through to affect him. Don't let it be all on the external. You've heard this story maybe. But Smith Wigglesworth, very bold preacher from England, he was not a Christian, and his wife was. And he was just, I mean, he was a pretty rough man in some ways at this point. And his wife went to church. And there was a particular night where he basically said he did not want her going. And she said, you're not my Lord. I submit to you, and I'm your wife, but you're not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord, and I'm going. And he said, if you go, I'm locking you out. And she said, well, Smith, fine, if that's what you think you ought to do, but I'm going. And so she went to the meeting that night, and she came back, and the door was locked. And so she slept. And I think, you know, she slept either partly standing up or whatever, or leaning against the door, at least sitting down. So in the morning, he opens the door, and she just fell in because she's leaning up against the door. And she got up and smiled at him and said, good morning, Smith. What would you like for your breakfast? What can I make you? Now, that's not what a lot of people would do. And he got born again. He said, you know, that convinced him. It wasn't her arguing with him. It was her letting the love of God shine through. And Smith Wigglesworth affected the world. He affected the world. He's called the Apostle of Faith. People you know, if you talk about anybody, you know, I can name many names, that's Word of Faith. It has been affected by Smith Wigglesworth because many people that affected them were affected by Smith Wigglesworth. But you look back at what happened in that kitchen, in that house. I believe that, you know, his wife's got some rewards coming in heaven. She's seeing them right now because she's not with us anymore. Not just what he did, because if he had never gotten born again, what if she was really bitter? What if she didn't let her? Now, this is a good example. That happened. You can let your flesh dominate and your mind. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. They're not going to do, and just go. She could have gone off on him. But she let her spirit dominate in this situation, and it changed the world. Yeah. Now, he had a choice. I'm not saying she didn't twist his arm. He had a choice, but that was instrumental. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. Praise God. Second Corinthians 4, verse 16. It says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing or decaying, getting old, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. See, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Your outward man is getting older. It doesn't have to be disease, but it's getting older. It's like your car is getting older. It's, you know, some parts are getting older than they used to be. Okay? That's because we live under a curse. Don't confuse healing with some things that just happen. You know, people say, well, how are you going to ever die then if you believe in divine healing? How are you going to ever die? Well, you're going to die, but you don't have to just die of cancer or something. You can get older and then say, all right, it's time for me to go. Breathe your last and go. But your body doesn't necessarily do everything, you know, at 110 that it could do when it was 16. You know, it just doesn't. And if people, there's a balance there. Anybody that's lived on the earth very long knows that. Verse 17 says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, notice that, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. But how much of the world is looking at the things that are seen, and that's about it? Now, I'm not knocking sports or anything. I like sport, but who won this game? Who won that? Who won this election? You know, what are the headlines in this? What's the latest movie coming out? You know, just, what am I going to eat? Where am I going out on Friday night? You know, what's going on? Who's coming to town? That's it. But the thing, those things are temporary, the Word says. They're going to be here, and they're going to be gone. But the things that are eternal are not seen. We, our body, our spirits are not seen. That doesn't mean it's not real, just because you don't see it. I haven't seen my brain either, but I know it's real. I don't want to see my brain anytime soon. But I know it's there. I believe it's there. Say what you want. I believe it's there. Just because you don't see something doesn't mean it's not real. And those things are eternal. All this that we see was made from the eternal. And this is temporary. So anything we're going through now, we can look at it, and we can say, no, this is temporary. I'm just passing through. Now let's go over to 2 Corinthians 5, just one chapter back. It says, chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Isn't that going to be glorious? Yes. And everyone, whether they know it or not, is groaning to be clothed with the habitation, which is from God. We're under the curse here. Christians have authority over Satan, but we still live in a fallen world. What we're seeing is not the way it was intended. But, like I said before, we have a job to do. Verse 3, he said, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent, talking about his body, groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home, notice that, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That does not mean Jesus, the Lord, is not with us. It just means we're not with Him as we will be with Him. It's a whole lot different walking on this earth. He's one with us in our spirit, but we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God there. You're not having to look through these windows we call eyes and try to put off your flesh to discern the presence of God. Like this morning, when we are praising and worshiping God, you know why people close their eyes a lot of times? Because you're shutting out the natural. You're getting in tune with your spirit. And if you're sensitive, you can discern things in the spirit. But you look up, somebody says something, or you look out, it can jerk you right back into the natural. You're looking at spiritual things. You're conscious of spiritual things. You can see what God's doing. He can be showing you things. And then the natural can suck you back. You can look at somebody or somebody says something, and boom, you're aware that you're just here. See, you have to consciously put the awareness of the natural to the side. But there we won't have to do that. There is no distraction like that. See, we'll be at home with Him. I mean, it's glorious. We don't have any of this distraction or any of this natural stuff to deal with. He says, we are always confident knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We're not walking by what we just see here. We believe we're a spirit. We're not just dead as a dog. When our body goes, people say, well, that's it. It's over. There is no God. No, not so. It's just getting started. Whatever short time we lived here is over, but now eternity starts. That's much longer. And it's very important how we spend our time here. But we don't walk by sight, just, well, that's all there is. I can't see it. I can't prove there's a God, so we just don't know. No, there's a God. We have to take it by faith. Verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So this body, he referred to it as our tent. You could say our earth suit. You know, we've seen people in space. They have space suits. Otherwise, they take that off, they can't live. But that's not them. That's the suit they're in. What you're looking at when you look around here is not reality. You're looking at Jim, but you're not looking at the real me. You're looking at my earth suit, my tent. When you look at your spouse, when you look around, all these people you see, it's just our machine that we get around in. I mean, you see it, the way stuff's happening. There are mechanisms that people are coming. You see where people operate. They operate machinery to get around. And they're in there doing it. It can look like a person, but it's not them. You wouldn't say, well, that's them. You would say, you can see them in there. They're just operating this piece of machinery. The car you came in is not you. Right? No, you came in the car. You wouldn't say, well, but you could say, there goes Jim if you saw me. But that's not Jim. I mean, that's Jim driving his car. But I'm in there manipulating. It's the same thing. We're manipulating this machine. And people have seen, the other side. It's like a glove, like a hand fits into a glove. Your body, like we talked about Abraham and Lazarus earlier, the real you, the spiritual body. When you see it come out, it's just like a hand slipping out of a glove. This whole body just kind of slips out. And there you are, but there you are up here. Now you can't manipulate the body. You can't do anything with it. But it's still there, and you're still here. But it's dead because you're gone. And if it comes back, it's just like, okay, now I can move on this earth. But we want to be led by that inward man, not by the external man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I think we'll pick up maybe next week, talk a little bit more about this area, but we'll see. Hallelujah.